Part 3. The Numbers Revealed. Some mathematicians believe that numbers were invented by human beings. Others, equally competent, believe that numbers have an independent existence of their own and are merely observed by sufficiently intelligent mortals. E.T. Bell, The Magic of Numbers. 2 is the first of the even numbers, which are female and evil, and so it is the number of woman and wickedness. The characteristics allotted to it are those traditionally associated with femininity: softness, sweetness, modesty, docility, subordination. Two people achieve their ends by diplomacy and persuasion, because woman traditionally gets her way by artful persuasion and seduction. Woman plays the passive, receptive role in copulation, and 2 is therefore the number of passive acceptance and receptivity in the widest possible sense, so that for businessmen, a 2-day is a good day for collecting accounts receivable. The strain of cruelty, malice, and deceit in the 2 nature comes from the number's connection with the devil. 2 is the most evil of numbers, and 2-pointed or forked objects are symbols of the devil, because 2 is the first number to break away from unity, the One, or God. 1 is the number of God, and 2, which is one's opposite, is the number of God's arch opponent. Early Christian writers noted that God did not see that it was good after the second day's creations in Genesis. Medieval Jews were convinced of the dangers of repeating an action twice, for instance, twice taking fire from the hearth when there is an invalid in the house. The unclean beasts went 2 by 2 into Noah's ark, but the clean beasts went in by sevens. And St. Augustine, who was an accomplished numerologist, commented, quote, that clean and unclean animals are in the ark, as good and bad take part in the sacraments of the church, that the clean are in sevens and the unclean in 2s. The bad, again, are in 2s as being easily divided from their tendency to schism, unquote. 4 is inevitably a grim and ominous number, because it is even, female, and evil, and is made of 2 in 2 ways, 2 plus 2 and 2 times 2. 4 is the number of solidity, because 4 points are needed to construct the simplest solid, the tetrahedron. And according to classical and medieval theory, everything in the world is made of differing proportions of 4 elements, fire, air, earth, and water, and characterized by differing mixtures of 4 qualities, hot, cold, wet, and dry. The year is made of 4 seasons, and the month of 4 weeks. The story of Christ is contained in 4 Gospels. Raoul Glaber, writing in the 11th century, connected the 4 Gospels of which the divine message is composed with the 4 elements of which the world is made. He linked earth with Matthew, because Matthew deals with Christ's incarnation in earthly form, water with Mark, because he stresses the importance of baptism, fire with John, because his gospel is the most spiritual, and air with Luke, because his is the longest. 4 is the number of solid matter, and it is particularly the number of earth, a solid object bounded by the 4 cardinal points. People whose number is 4 are therefore solid and stolid, practical and down-to-earth, pillars of society in the same way that the earth supports the edifices of civilization, stodgy and humdrum, but subject to fits of melancholy, fog, mists, rain, and outbursts of violence, earthquakes and eruptions. They are toilers, farmers, gardeners, agricultural laborers, who work at hard routine tasks for uncertain, often meager rewards. 4 is an unlucky number, because of this connection with dull, lifeless matter and with earthly existence, which many late classical and medieval writers condemned as a gloomy, toilsome, sin-ridden affair from which man could escape only by death and entry into the joyous life of the spirit. Sweat, misery, and defeat are the lot of man on earth and the lot of 4 people in numerology. 7 is the most mysterious and uncanny of numbers, and one of the most important in magic. Traditionally, the 7th son of a 7th son has magical powers. 7 is not produced by multiplication of any of the other numbers, nor does it, multiplied, produce any other number in the first 10. It is unlike the other numbers in this way, for 9 equals 3 times 3, 8 equals 2 times 4, 6 equals 2 times 3, 5 times 2 equals 10, and so on. And so it is thought to be different from them, aloof, lonely, and unable to communicate with them. It follows that if your number is 7, you are solitary, cut off from other people, unable to explain yourself and your ideas. The mysterious importance of 7 is much older and more deeply rooted than this piece of numerological reasoning. The great Sumerian king, Lugulanamundu, who possibly dates back to about 2500 BC, built a temple in his city of Adab to the goddess Nintu. The temple had 7 gates and 7 doors, and when it was finished, it was dedicated with sacrifices of 7 times 7 fatted oxen and fatted sheep. Joshua and the Israelites marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days with 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets, and on the 7th day they circled the city 7 times, and at the 7th time they shouted, and the walls fell, and they utterly destroyed the city. Revelation, one of the most popular books of the Bible for centuries, is packed with number symbolism and teems with sevens. The number occurs 54 times in all. 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 vials of wrath, 7 thunders, 7 spirits before the throne, 7 golden candlesticks, 7 heads of the beast. The significance of 7 comes from its connection with the moon. It is a widespread primitive belief that the cycle of life and death on earth, the birth, growth, and decay of plants, animals, and men, is connected with the waxing and waning of the moon as it goes through its endless cycle of births and deaths in the sky. The great classical astrologer Ptolemy said, quote, "The moon, too, as the heavenly body nearest the earth, bestows her effluence most abundantly upon mundane things, for most of them, animate or inanimate, are sympathetic to her and change in company with her. The rivers increase and diminish their streams with her light. The seas turn their own tides with her rising and setting, and plants and animals, in whole or in some part, wax and wane with her." Unquote. A modern American astrologer applies the same principle to human life. Quote, "When the new moon comes into being, all nature begins to renew itself. Even you and I begin to gather new powers. It is nature's way. From the new moon up to the full, she is giving out her strength, and we are waxing strong with it. From the full moon to the end, she is withdrawing her strength, preparatory to giving it out again, and we are waning in our own powers because of this withdrawal." Unquote. The moon's cycle is made of 4 phases, each lasting about 7 days. The Sumerians based their calendar on this cycle, and this is the origin of the month of 4 weeks of 7 days each, with extra days added to cover the period at the end of each cycle when the moon is not visible in the sky. In Babylonia, every 7th day, marking the end of a stage in the moon's cycle, was sacred to Sin, the moon god, and these days were felt to be unlucky and uncanny. This is probably the origin of the Sabbath, the 7th day on which you rest, because it would be dangerous to do anything on a day which is uncanny. If the moon rules life on earth with a cycle running in periods of 7, by as above so below reasoning, life on earth should also run in periods of 7, and according to occultists, it does. The human body renews itself every 7 years. Occultists maintain that disease runs in 7s, with the crisis in most illnesses coming on the 7th, 14th, or 21st day, and lasting about 3.5 of 7 days. More importantly, menstruation in women, on which all human life depends, occurs in a cycle of 4 times 7 days and lasts about 3.5 days. The occultist's conclusion is that the number 7 governs the cycles and rhythms of life, birth, growth, disease, decay, death. For the same reasons, 7 is a number of completeness. Each stage of human growth is complete in 7 years, each phase of the moon in 7 days. 7 of anything makes a complete series. 7 planets are, or were until recently, all the planets. 7 days make a whole week. There are 7 colors in the spectrum, and 7 notes in the musical scale, 7 petitions in the Lord's Prayer. seven deadly sins, seven features of the human head, two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, one mouth, seven orifices of the male body. The characteristics of seven in numerology, deep wisdom, interest in religion and philosophy, the search for inner truth, secrecy, and mystery, follow from the occult significance of seven as the number which holds the key to the underlying rhythms of life. This is powerfully reinforced by the most obvious example of seven as a number of completeness, the creation of the world in 7 days according to Genesis, which was essentially the creation of life. God finished the work in 6 days and rested on the seventh. The idea of the Sabbath, of rest and reflection after toil and involvement, appears in the numerologist's seven nature as withdrawal from the world, introspection, and meditation. People whose number is one are leaders and pioneers, and a 1 year is a time of new beginnings, because one is the first of the numbers and leads all the rest. One people dominate others, because if one is added to any odd number, it converts it to an even number, and vice versa. They have great fixity of purpose and toughness of character, because whether it is multiplied or divided by itself, one remains one, which is not true of any other number. Several modern numerologists say that one people are proud and stiff-necked because the symbol one stands erect and unbending. One is the number of God, the One. It stands for God the Father, the Creator, the original of everything in the universe, as one is the original number. The characteristics allotted to one people are very much those of Jehovah in the Old Testament. Power and dominance, creativity and originality, determination, independence, self-assertion, refusal to cooperate with others or tolerate rivals. Three is the number of creation, because in numerological theory, one alone, though potentially creative, is sterile. The word multiply has a procreative meaning as well as a mathematical one. And however many times one is multiplied, fertilized, by itself, it remains one. Two does not solve the problem, because two merely produces a pair of opposites, parenthesis, two dots. And two multiplied by one remains two. To reconcile the opposites and create more numbers, three is needed. Three times two equals six. Were God only one, as Eliphaz Levi explained, he would never be creator or father. Were he two, there would be antagonism or division in the infinite, which would mean the division also or death of all possible things. He is therefore three, for the creation by himself and in his image of the infinite multitude of beings and numbers. Lurking in the coverts behind this theory is the sexual symbolism of three. Three is the first number to have a generative middle part, parenthesis, three dots. And three, or the triangle, is a natural symbol for the male genitals. Man's procreative equipment is threefold, and according to the principle of as below, so above, and the theory that God is man writ large, it follows that God as procreator of the universe must also be threefold. Were God only one, he would never be creator or father, because one, the erect phallus, alone is sterile. This is the basic numerological interpretation of the Trinity, the threefold God. Three is a potent number because it represents the generative sexual force of the male and the highest spiritually creative force through its connection with the Trinity. To the magician, these forces are one and the same. The generative power of man and the creative power of God are manifestations of the same force on different planes. Three is used in magic in the hope of capturing this powerful creative force. Not surprisingly, three is particularly effective in love charms, and a method of finding the number of the girl a man should marry is to total his first name plus birth date and add three. The number two sets up a pair of opposites, parenthesis, two dots, and stands for antagonism, opposition, and the devil, the arch-opponent of God. In magical theory, all progress comes through the reconciliation of opposites. The middle dot of three, parenthesis, three dots, links the opposites of two, reconciles them, and transcends them in a higher harmony, parenthesis, as in three dots in the shape of a triangle, for instance. So three is the number of harmonious progress, and if your number is three, you progress easily and luckily through life, effortlessly gathering money and success on the way. Because three is the number of creation, three people have a strong urge to create and to express themselves, and so they are talkative and witty and make fine creative artists. This is backed up by the fact that three is the number of the triangle, the first plane figure, and is therefore the number of surface. Three people are very much on the surface, charming, sparkling, glittering. Their tendency to diffuse effort also comes from the triangle. They face three ways at once. In Christian numerology, three naturally stands for everything that is best, most perfect, and most holy, because it is the number of the Trinity. But the association of three with the superlative is a much older doctrine. It comes out in the Greek word trismegistus, thrice greatest, superlatively great, and the Latin ter felix, thrice happy, happiest. Our notion of the superlative involves the third term in a series of three, good, better, best. The Pythagoreans call three the perfect number because it has a beginning, a middle, and an end, parenthesis, three dots. And anything which lacks a beginning or a middle or an end is plainly imperfect. Later, as Professor Bell sardonically comments in his Magic of Numbers, quote, "It was denied that three has either a beginning or an end, and people were burned at the stake for disagreeing," unquote. Three is also a number of completeness, beginning, middle, and end, for example. Three of anything implies enough and all. The hero of a fairy story has three wishes, which somehow seems to be enough wishes, and the heroine has three suitors. We say, "I give you three guesses," with the feeling that three is enough. Three accounts for all time, past, present, and future, and all space, length, breadth, and thickness. The association of three with both best and all may have originated in primitive methods of counting, or rather of not counting. Some primitive peoples had special words for one and two, but for three or more used their word for many. If three was connected with the idea of abundance in this way, it may naturally have become identified with best and all. The Babylonian term for a constellation, however many stars it might contain, was three stars. In ancient Greece, it was considered important to bury a dead body decently in the ground and not leave it lying about, but if circumstances made a proper burial impossible, it was sufficient to drop three handfuls of earth on the corpse. In German folklore, a werewolf must be stabbed three times in the brows to reveal the real person beneath the skin. All numbers of completeness are important in magic because they indicate how many times an action should be repeated. Because three implies enough or all, to chant an incantation three times is magically to chant it enough times or an infinite number of times. The instruction to repeat a process three times is constantly found in charms and spells. Three is sometimes combined with seven, another number of completeness. Pliny's Natural History recommends three times seven centipedes mixed in honey as a cure for asthma, and for scrofula, three fingers of ashes of vipers taken in liquid for three times 7 days. Scrofula is a skin disease, and vipers periodically cast their skins and appear in nice, shiny new ones. Nine is another magically powerful number because it reduplicates the power of three. Nine equals three times three. A book on medicine, written about A.D. 400, gives the following cure for stomach upsets. Press the abdomen with the left thumb and say nine times, Adam betam alam betur alem botum. Touch the ground with the left thumb and spit. Say the words nine more times, and again nine more times, giving a total of 3 times 9 repetitions. Pliny mentions a cure for spleen ailments. Take fresh sheep's milk, spleen, and apply it to the patient's body, saying, "This I do for the cure of the spleen." Say this 27, 3 times 9, times. Then plaster the milt into the bedroom wall and seal it in with a ring. In both these cures, the effect of the words is to transfer the patient's ailment to the earth in the first case, to the milt in the second, and the milt must be walled up because it has been magically linked with the patient and could be used against him. But the words are only effective if the force of 3 to the 3rd power is enlisted. A sinister measuring charm is recommended by the Renaissance magician Cornelius Agrippa. Take the body of a dead man and a piece of rope. Measure the corpse with the rope from the elbow to the end of the longest finger, from the shoulder to the end of the longest finger, and from head to toe. Do this 3 times, giving 9 measurements altogether. Dispose of the dead body and keep the rope. Anyone afterwards measured in the same way with the same rope will fall into misery and misfortune. The real purpose of this charm is probably to kill anyone who is measured with the rope. The 9 measurements have captured the deadness of the corpse, and this can be transferred to a living body by imposing the same measurements on it. The measurements of a thing, like its name, are the thing. They state its dimensions and define its limits, and so they contain its essential being. We say we have taken the measure of a man when we have found out what he is like. 9 is a number of completeness because a human child is conceived, formed, and born in 9 months. 9 completes the series of the essential numbers. From this point of view, 10 is merely a restatement of 1. Also, 360 degrees make a complete circle, and 360 reduces to 9. Ovid says in his Fasti that in Rome on certain days in May, the ghosts of the dead were believed to return to their old homes. To expel them, the head of the house, after midnight, washed his hands in water and walked through the house, throwing black beans behind him and saying 9 times, "These I cast, with these beans I redeem me and mine." He took care not to look over his shoulder as the ghosts gathered up the beans and followed behind him. Then he ordered the ghosts to leave his house, saying 9 times, "Ghosts of my fathers, go forth." Not until then was it safe for him to look behind him. Beans were used to purge the house of the ghosts because beans have laxative qualities. To repeat the 2 sets of words 9 times was to repeat them enough times or all possible times. 9 stands for great spiritual and mental achievement in numerology because it is the last and highest of the numbers from 1 to 9, and so it denotes the highest qualities. 9 people are really 3s writ large, with a higher characteristic of desire to serve humanity in place of the self-serving ambition of 3. 9 is the number of initiation, the end of 1 stage of spiritual development and the beginning of a new one, because it is the last of the units and is followed by the 1st of the 10s. It is an amorous number because it has the male sex force of 3 reduplicated. The 9 nature may be egotistical, because 9 is an egotistical number. It always returns to itself. When 9 is multiplied by any other number, the answer invariably adds to 9. 2 times 9 equals 18, which adds to 9. 3 times 9 equals 27, which adds to 9, and so on. And if all the numbers up to and including 9 are added, the total is 45, which again adds to 9. 6 is an even female number, but it escapes the unluckiness of the other even numbers because it is perfect. A perfect number is one which equals the sum of its proper divisors other than itself. The proper divisors of 6, apart from 6 itself, are 1, 2, and 3, and 1 plus 2 plus 3 equals 6. Nicomachus in the 1st century A.D. knew that 6, 28, 496, and 8,128 are perfect numbers. The next one, 33,550,336, was apparently not discovered until the mid-15th century. Because addition and multiplication of its component parts both give the same answer, 6 is regarded as a balanced, well-integrated, harmonious number, not torn by internal conflict, and so the 6 nature is balanced, well-adjusted, contented, placid. The tranquil and comfortable quality of 6 is strengthened by the fact that 6 is the number of female love and domesticity. This is because 6 is made of the first feminine number, 2, multiplied by the first masculine number, 3, and in love, woman is multiplied, fertilized, by man. 6 is the number of marriage, family, and home, because, traditionally, female sexuality is legitimately expressed only in marriage. It stands for the perfect mother and housewife, and 6 people are faithful, affectionate, reliable, wrapped up in home and children, efficient and hard-working, 6 days shalt thou labor, neat and tidy, conventional, gossipy, and, it must be confessed, sometimes a little dull, even. They may be extremely successful in the arts because they have the creative power of 3 twice. 6 equals 3 plus 3. 5 is the number of male sexuality because it is made of the first feminine number, 2, added to the first masculine number, 3, and in love, woman is added to man for his possession and pleasure. Where 3 is the number of sex for procreation, 5 stands for sexual enjoyment, sex for its own sake. It is the number of Don Juan, fickle, restless, loving risks and adventure, attracted by everything but held by nothing, avoiding responsibility, perhaps even debauched and perverted. Some of the 5 characteristics have a directly phallic reference. Quickness, impulsiveness, jumpiness, elasticity, and resilience. 5 people rebound quickly, and they naturally hate being tied down. In a wider sense, 5 stands for sensuality and the joys of the flesh in general, because it is the number of the 5 senses. In the 12th century, Hugh of St. Victor explained that, quote, because of the 5 senses, the number 5 naturally represents natural men, who, though they are not shamefully dominated by carnal lusts, nevertheless pursue and love things that minister to the delight of their outward senses, since they do not know what spiritual delight means. Unquote. 5 stands for the natural man, not only because it is the number of the senses, but also because it is the number of nature. It is made of 1, the life-creating potential of God, plus 4, matter. And when life is added to matter, the result is the world of nature, of animals, birds, plants, and man. 5 people are many-sided because the pentagon, symbol of 5, is a many-sided figure. For the same reason, and also because 5 is the halfway point between 1 and 9, they may be nervous and uncertain, looking backwards and forwards at the same time. The significance of 8 comes partly from the fact that it is made of 4 plus 4. 4 is the number of earth and matter, so 8 stands for worldly involvement and material success or failure. 8 has double 4's capacity for defeat, and so spectacular failure is an 8 possibility. But where 4 toils for little reward, 8 may have great success in terms of money and power. Modern numerologists point out that the dual nature of the number is shown by the figure 8 itself, 2 circles, one on top of the other. The 8 nature may go up or down. This idea is partly based on the fact that 8 in Christian number symbolism, far from being the number of worldly involvement, is the number of life after death. The possibility that after death the soul may go up to heaven is the numerologist's great success, and the possibility that it may go down to hell is his great failure. 8 stands for life after death because it follows 7. 7 is the number of life in this world, since it governs the basic rhythms of earthly life, birth, change, death. And 8, coming after 7, means the life of the world to come. As a result, 8 is the number of eternity and infinity, and the mathematical symbol for infinity is an 8 lying on its side. Concealed behind all this is an anatomical interpretation of the number. Man's body has 7 orifices, but woman's has 8, and the 8th is the gateway through which new life enters the world. 8 is basically the number of new life. In many churches, the font is octagonal, as a sign that baptism is the entry into a new life. In Jewish tradition, a baby boy is named and begins his life as an individual on the 8th day after his birth. In the same way, life after death is new life. 8 means worldly involvement, because at birth, a new being becomes involved in the life of the world, and success or failure are the two great possibilities which confront him. Among modern numerologists, Cairo is particularly insistent on the ominous character of 8. He describes how Crippen was fatally dogged by the numbers 8 and 4. Crippen was born in 1862, which adds to 8. His birthday was the 26th, 8. The day on which his wife was last seen alive was the 31st, 4, and her remains were discovered in his cellar on the 13th, 4. Trying to escape, Crippen used the name Robinson, 8 letters. He was recognized on board the Montrose, 8 letters, on the 22nd, 4, and brought back to England on the Megantic, 8 letters. His formal arrest occurred on the 31st, 4. His trial ended on the 22nd, 4, of October. Octem is the Latin for 8, and he was found guilty. When he was hanged, he was 48 years old. 11 is the number of the faithful disciples of Jesus, the 12 less Judas. And those whose number is 11 have a special message to give to the world as the apostles brought the message of Christianity. This is backed up by the fact that 11 is the next number after 10. The numbers from 1 to 10 are the essential numbers in Pythagorean theory and stand for all things, the whole created world. 11 is the beginning of a higher series of numbers and represents a higher supernatural plane of knowledge and achievement. 11 is interpreted as God, 1, added to the world, 10. And so it is the number of revelation, the beginning of the knowledge of God. It is also the number of martyrdom, the entry into the higher life of heaven, and the apostles were the first martyrs of the Christian church. 11 people are the saints and martyrs, the preachers and teachers, who are nearer to divinity than ordinary mortals, and who announce the ways of God to man. The importance of 22 comes from the 22 Hebrew letters, the creation account in Genesis, and the 22 books of the Old Testament. Occultists always cheerfully assert that the Old Testament has 22 books, although Christian versions of it have many more. The usual Jewish division of the scriptures gives a total of 24 books. 5 books of Moses, plus Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, Ezra and Nehemiah counted as one book, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, and the 12 minor prophets counted as one book. But Josephus, the Jewish historian of the 1st century A.D., and some other early authorities, give the total as 22 by combining Ruth with Judges and Lamentations with Jeremiah. And this is the number which interests occultists because it coincides with the number of letters in the Hebrew alphabet. For centuries, Christians and Jews revered Hebrew as the divine language, the speech of the God of Israel. Hebrew was not only the language in which Jehovah revealed himself to the patriarchs and prophets and delivered the law and commandments to Moses, it was also the language which was used to create the universe. According to Genesis, God created the world by expressing commands in words. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. What God did, in fact, was to name light and all the other creations, which immediately sprang into existence in response to God's utterance of their names, because the name of a thing contains the essence of its being. The words which God used in creation were naturally assumed to be Hebrew words. It was calculated by Jewish and Christian commentators that during the 6 days of creation, God made 22 things in all. Unformed matter, angels, light, the upper heavens, earth, water and air on the first day, the firmament on the second day, the seas, seeds, grass and trees on the third day, on the fourth, the sun, moon and stars, on the fifth, fish, aquatic reptiles and flying creatures, and on the sixth, wild beasts, domestic animals, land reptiles, and man. This is the list given by Isidore of Seville in the 7th century. God used the 22 Hebrew letters to create 22 things, which stand for everything that exists, because God created everything. So the 22 letters contain the secret of God's creation of the universe. Anyone who fully understands these letters understands the entire construction and mechanism of the universe. 22 is the number of the Master, the earthly equivalent of the Master on high who created all things by means of 22. God made the world and revealed himself to man in a language which has 22 letters and in scriptures which have 22 books, and so 22 enshrines all the secrets of the universe, all knowledge of God, all wisdom, all truth. This is why books intended to illuminate the mysteries of God and the universe, and written by numerologically minded authors, are often arranged in terms of 22. The Revelation of St. John was written, probably deliberately, in 22 chapters. St. Augustine wrote his City of God in 22 books. Similarly, each volume of Lévy's Doctrine and Ritual has 22 chapters, and Aleister Crowley wrote Magic and Theory and Practice in 22 chapters. The members of the Wisdom, Knowledge, Faith, Love, Fountain of the World cult in California chant 22 times at their daily morning services, "Love one, love ye one another, love all, serve ye one another." The Fountain of the World is a sect of followers of the late Krishna Venta, who was believed to be Christ because he had no navel, meaning that he was not born of woman, and was killed with a bomb several years ago by dissident followers of his "love one, love all" philosophy. The theory and structure of numerology is basically Greek in origin, but its underlying principles, the belief that the name of a thing reveals its essential nature, that names and all other things can be expressed in numbers, that the universe is constructed to a mathematical pattern, and that this pattern involves opposites and their reconciliation, have received powerful support and their most important magical development in the Jewish system of magical theory called the Kabbalah.